Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Okay, welcome, welcome. Good to have everybody today. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Baron.
Yes, sir.
My daddy always used to tell me, glad you got to see me.
I'm glad you got to see me.
And I was glad to see.
Praise the Lord. Well, we got some praise reports. Praise the Lord.
I got a couple today.
How many of you like to be in a church that has praise reports? I love it. I love being in a place where Jesus shows up, because he's the one and only that can cause you to have praise reports. If he don't show up, no praise reports. So when we have praise reports every Sunday, he must show up somewhere during the week. And we are so grateful. Cheryl's got a couple here.
Well, this one was, the title was, Remove Me from the Mailing List. And then when you read it, he says, we're listening online and have been enjoying Thurman for many years. So I wrote him back, told him, okay, I've taken him off and blessings. And then he wrote back and he said, thank you, Cheryl. I've been passing around his tapes, now CDs, for many years and have seen others touched and healed through his ministry.
Praise the Lord.
Okay. This one came on the media order. Anytime there's the word prayer in the media order, it knocks it to me on the email, okay? This one says, and this was in the comment section, Sister Jackie. Okay, I'm going to wait just a second then. Okay. All right, I feel better now.
Okay. What was that all about?
It's called filling time. You know,
led by the Spirit.
Yeah. You just dance off the stage. You know, you Buffalo off on to New York or wherever else you're going.
Shuffle off the Buffalo.
Yes, it is shuffle off the Buffalo. Well, anyway, let me think of something else to say. Well, let's see. There's a healing school this next Saturday.
Amen.
1:00.
Yeah.
I know that's good news.
Yeah.
Oh, I know everybody needs to keep Franz Moore in prayer. Yesterday morning early, his blood pressure went up to 200/115, and he couldn't walk, and so he called his daughter. They took him by ambulance to the hospital. There was nothing wrong with his heart, but I guess they got his blood pressure stabilized and sent him home. And then he's still, for the last couple of days, has not been able basically to walk around. So we've been commanding his blood pressure to be 120/70. I know you all agree with me on that. He will have no vertigo. That's one of the complaints, is that he's falling over. So no vertigo, and he's got 100% oxygen saturation rate to his brain. And in Jesus' mighty name, we all agree. And when the church said,
amen.
Thank you very much. Okay, here were the comments in the prayer request that came on the media order. It said, Sister Jackie, I just want to tell you that I'm healed. You prayed. You told me to stand on God's word. Live by faith. Do not go to the doctor or take no medications. I do as you told me to. The arthritis and the diabetic sore on my left foot is healed.
You didn't know you were such a strong prayer warrior.
I've had it since June of 2017. Now it's 2018. It is now gone, and I pray for the scar to be removed. So I stand on Mark 11:23-24, Jeremiah 33:6, Jeremiah 30:17, Psalm 107:19-20, John 14:13-14. Isaiah 53:4, Psalm 41:3-4, Exodus 23:25, Psalm 103:3-4, Psalm 62:4. Then I asked my daughter to come in agreement with me on Matthew 18:19, in Christ's name. Thank you, the Most High God. And thank you, Brother Thurman and his mighty prayer warriors. Bless. And I have been battling this since 2011, this arthritis.
Amen.
Oh, it's from Jackie Ellis.
Praise the Lord. Isn't that something?
I've been fussing at Miss Jackie Tear for how long to start praying on the phone. I say when they call in and they need a prayer request right then, pray for these people. She's finally doing it.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. She's submitting to authority now, honey.
Praise the Lord.
We can give her a raise.
Well. Praise. Okay, well, we have one of those live praise reports here today.
Hallelujah.
One of those that God answered prayer. Many of you men stood up to last week when I asked who would like to come pray over Bill Wagner because he had cancer in his back. Nearly all the men in the church stood, and I had each one of you come by and lay your hands on Bill. Well, he had a doctor's appointment the next week, and I want Bill to come tell us what the report was. This is the man that we called up to pray over. Praise the Lord.
I couldn't be happier to be able to stand here and give you the report that I have today. I want to read something to you. Praise the Lord. Okay, on the 20th, I had a biopsy taken on my back on the sore. And then I had prayer right here at TLSM on the 29th. And the biopsy had come back a few days earlier indicating that I had, and this is a copy of the biopsy here, that I had a squamous cell carcinoma on the middle of my back on the sore. Well, I came for prayer, and I don't know if there were 15, 20, or 25 men that came together in a corporate prayer, laying hands on me, and the power of God in two or more sometimes is awesome. And I believe I'm believing more and more, the more people that pray in one accord together for anything can have what they want, first of all, right? Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Jesus is the key. But anyway, what happened was, then I went to the surgeon after this report was sent to him. I filled out a lot of papers and so forth, and I told one of his attendants, I said, you're going to be surprised when you get in there. I said, you're not going to find any cancer. And she said, well, we sure hope not, don't we? And I said, well, let's just find out. So it was my time to go in, and MOHS is M-O-H-S. It's a form of surgery that they do on little basal cell cancers and squamous cell cancers, where they excise the part around or in the area that's cancerous, and they keep cutting away at it until they can put part of it under a microscope. They do this over a period of about an hour. So what you go in and they take this out, usually around 10:30 or 11, and then they tell you to go to lunch and come back in an hour, and they'll determine if you need some more cut out. Well, that happened, and Betty and I went off, had lunch, came back, and I walked in, and the nurse came out, and she said, well, you don't need to go back in. All the cancer's gone. I said, I told you. Praise God. Yeah. And so anyway, the surgeon in a little bit came in to sew me up, you know, because they have to take a little incision and so forth. Well, that all happened, but, you know, just it's a relief and a testimony. When you hear about other people, you're always glad for them because we're all brothers and sisters in the Lord. But there's nothing quite like it when it hits you, it's your testimony, and you've just been healed by the King. And boy, I'm telling you what, it is exciting. But I want to tell you men something. You men showed an act of love for your Lord. Each one of you came together, and what you did through this man's guidance and suggestion that was given to him by the Lord, I'm sure of that. This all made it possible for me to even go out now and do something that I did this morning. I'll tell you real quickly, a lot of the days when I'm on Sunday mornings, I go with a fellow Gideon over in Irving. I'm still in the Irving Gideon camp. We line up churches. We go by churches really before the services get started. And then we ask if we can have a date set in a month or two that we can go by and give them a report. And again, this is about raising money or donations for Gideon Bibles, which is more seed, which is the word being passed out around the world. That's how the Gideon organization has grown so big. Well, anyway, today I went to two churches, though, and this is specifically why I wanted to bring about this. These churches are both black churches over in Irving, and one church had a lady pastor. She met us at the door, and she said, well, the pastor you're looking for has passed on, but she said, I'm taking his place. Well, I want to tell you what now, and I'm going to say it just like it is. This black lady was drop-dead gorgeous. She was out of sight. I looked at her, and I looked at my friend Alan Powell, who went with me, and I said, I'm going to say this before Alan and you as a compliment. You're one of the prettiest black people I have ever seen in my life, inside and out. And I said, I noticed she had a ring on. I said, I'm sure your husband will attest to this. She said, I wear this ring. I'm married to Jesus. She said, I don't have a husband. I have him. And he's my husband. I thought, oh, man. You're talking about having it put together. This woman did, and then went to another church, and this fella had a cane, the head pastor. And I said, after we told him what we'd like to do, and he gave us a date to come back. In fact, I'm going to take both those churches myself when that day comes. But we came back. He came back out of the congregation to talk to us, and he was hobbling along a little bit. And I forgot to mention a while ago, I told that black preacher lady that what had happened on my back, and she was, she was kind of like I was. She was shouting hallelujah and everything else. Well, I told this preacher, I said, could I pray for you? He said, oh, man. Yeah, he said, I had an accident a while back, and the doctor got a hold of my back, and he said, he did something to it, and he said, now, he said, I'm losing all my power in my right leg. And he was hollering just about like that. And I said, well, I'll tell you what, we can take care of that right now. And I said, I just got through having a miracle healing just a few days ago, and I said, that same power is here today. That same healing is here today, and the same God that did it is here today. So I said, I'm going to pray for you. Let's all be in agreement. So I did, and I used, God gave me all the right verses that we get right here, and I had them lined up one right after another. It is written, it is written, it is written. I won't go through all of them because we all know them here. But the good news is, part of the time I was praying, part of the time I was speaking in tongues, part of the time I was just... I was so happy. And then I guess what I did? I guaranteed it.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Wow, we're getting dangerous now. We're beginning to guarantee God's word. Wow, when you get to where you guarantee God's word, you're really something. Wow, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Wow. Did your son come with you?
No, but I say we would pray for him. And JC's going to do it tonight. This is his day.
Okay. So, anyway, Fred was going to bring you something. Fred's a missionary, and I met Fred years ago, and... he and I've kept up with each other. I've helped support his ministry as he's traveled all over the world. But he's got a son that's got a problem with his leg. And I thought he would come today, but he didn't.
He didn't come next week or Saturday.
Yeah, but anyway, I want us to pray for his son. We know that this boy does not have to be here. Well, these praise reports that Cheryl and I read to you every Sunday, we don't see any of those people. We don't even talk to them. We email them, and we pray, and we know that God's going to do something great. So, what's his full name, Fred?
Nathan.
Gift of God. Okay, so for Fred, Herd's son, Nathan, Father. We come to your throne of grace on behalf of your mighty word. The boy's had the problem with his body for a long time. And Lord, you said it just two or three of us would agree about anything, you would do it. But Father, for Fred's son, we're going to be in agreement that you will completely heal and restore that boy's body, make his body well, and this will glorify you. Everybody knows he's had the problem. And we know that when you do this work for him, and Lord, you said in your word, you said that if two or three of us agree, you said if it's, we just ask for anything in the name of Jesus, Lord, we know that you will do these things. And so we want to ask you to completely restore Fred's son. We remit all of his sins. We remit all of our sins. Now we command the spirit of curse that's causing the problem with Fred's son's body to leave and to go away. And now we ask you to send the precious Holy Spirit to do a Jesus overhaul on Fred's son's body from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet, and make everything in his body work supernaturally perfect and well in Jesus' name. And Lord, we want to thank you in advance, just like we did for Bill last week. We thanked you in advance for healing Bill Wagner's back, and you did that. And Lord, we're so grateful that you did that, that you healed his back, and he's grateful. He's a happy man, just like he said, whenever it happens to you, that's when it really kicks in, is when you're the one. So Lord, we're going to thank you in advance for healing Fred's son and doing a great work on that boy. And may he be so wonderfully healed, and it's happened so quickly, that he will just stand amazed at what you're doing. Thank you, Lord, for your promises, which are all yes and amen. So we thank you and praise you for healing that boy in Jesus' name. Amen. How many is in agreement with me?
Amen. I agree.
His son. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, I have a question. I want you to help me this week. I got a letter from a ministry, and they said, we hooked onto your website, went to your YouTube, and we found where that God is doing something supernaturally in your ministry beyond anything we've ever heard of. There was amazed. How in the world can you be in a ministry and you pray for people and you never get an answer? This is where we are in our ministry. We pray, but we never see an answer to prayer. Now then, I was a member of the Baptist Church. We prayed, but if I ever saw an answer to a prayer, I don't remember it. I know what it is to be a part of a church that prays. I mean, we don't pray very much, and we don't pray very serious, but since I never saw an answer to prayer, I'm like this guy. I mean, I'm still okay. I'm still okay with going to church. But since God never shows up, you never see a demonstration of the Spirit's power. That's why when I was listening last week to a man on TV, he says that 70% of the children that are Christians that leave home as seniors in high school and go to college, the first year, 70% of them turn their back on God. Why? I mean, if you've been raised up in a home or in a church where that you see a demonstration of God's power, like see Bill Wagner come in with cancer one Sunday, the next Sunday he's cured. He's healed. But in this church, we've seen that hundreds and hundreds and thousands of times. This is not something new. Well, I mean, we've seen supernatural miracles. We've seen God do awesome things. So this man is in, he's totally, completely, I don't understand this. Why is it that you get so many answers to prayer? In fact, when I read that, I thought about Camilla. Camilla was with a group of ladies or somewhere. I think maybe it was a Bible study class. I don't know. And one of the ladies asked her where she went to church. And she said, oh, I go to the Living Savior Church. They said, oh, who you do? Who's that? She said, oh, that's where Pastor Thurman Scrivener is the pastor. And the lady said, oh, that church, that's the church where all the prayers are answered. Something like, wasn't that the way it was, Camilla? Was it a Bible study class or what was it you were in?
Now, which way?
I know this is a crazy thing to ask, but would you like to be a member of a church where you never get a prayer answered, or one where that all your prayers get answered? Dave used that word "all" again there a while ago himself, didn't he? When it says you got to do all these things. You know, we've come to realize when God says he does all these things, he really means what he says, doesn't he?
Yes, he does.
Both good and bad.
Yes.
You know, so I just thought to myself as I read, or actually Cheryl read it to me, but as I was looking at that, I'm thinking, here I got a ministry that God has directed him to our ministry and has shown him what he is able to do. And he does heal and he does answer our prayers, does he not?
Yes.
I mean, how many of you people here in the time period of times that you've been here have seen God heal at least one or more persons in the last year or two that go to this church? I mean, look at that. Nearly everybody here has seen God do at least one or two. Now then, if you take a church, a little church like this, and we've seen this many answers to prayer, and lots of these people are still here today. Many of you, I could just start pointing down fingers at each one of you saying, wow, you got a praise report. You got an answer to prayer. I can just think of simple things like Mike and Gracie over here. Like Mike had a problem with his back for years. I mean, he, whenever they finally decided to believe God's word and she prayed for him, man, in one heartbeat, his back was healed and he had no more trouble. Then we got a woman up here on the front row, had her back trouble too, and she wouldn't even come up for prayer. But to show you how much God wanted him, whenever we prayed the prayer, and she wasn't even up there. So there were so many people getting healed. That's back before Cheryl was my wife. When she started seeing her, she thought, well, surely I got a pain somewhere where I can get prayed for and see God do something. She wanted a touch from God. But there wasn't nothing wrong with her. She didn't need prayer. But that's not the case, because when I first met her, she needed to come to a healing school because she had an incurable problem that could not be healed. And I told her what caused it. She repented of her sin. I prayed the prayer of faith for her, and God instantly healed her. Sharon. Sharon back there. You know, Sharon's the same way. You know, we prayed over Sharon. Told me when the first time I come up for prayer, she says, Pastor, before you pray for me, I want you to know that I've never been to a healing school like this. I've never heard the Word of God taught like this. But I want you to know I've had people pray for me over 100 times with no results. Now, is that the kind of church you want to be in?
No.
Get prayed for 100 times and no results? So I told her, I said, how long you had it? She said, 27 years. I said, wow. I said, well, let's go back 27 years and let's look and see what happened 27 years ago. So I said, obviously there's some kind of a sin. She said, you mean that has an effect on getting healed? I said, yes. You need to get rid of your sin. So we went back 27 years and she said, oh my goodness, I did this and this. I said, have you ever repented? She said, well, I guess I haven't. I said, well, why don't you repent and ask the Lord to forgive you? I said, he says he will in 1 John, doesn't he not?
Yes.
Confess your sin and he'll restore you. That's what he said. So she did that, and I said, okay, now then, what scripture did you use to base your faith on to pray? Scripture? We didn't use any scripture. I said, God watches over his word to perform his word. You need to learn to do things God's way. So anyway, we went to a scripture after we talked about that. She said, well, you mentioned several beautiful scriptures today. So she went and looked up, or pulled up one or two or three, and she said, well, let's use, how about this one? We use if two on earth agree. I said, that sounds like a good one. I mean, isn't it simple?
Yep.
I mean, God made that so hard, nobody would ever find it, you know. If there's two of you on earth agree about anything you ask me for, isn't that awesome?
Yes.
And somebody say, well, you know, he doesn't do that. Well, if you don't believe he will, he won't. I mean, you have to believe. So anyway, then I told her, I said, and then after you've done all that, Sharon, I said, I want you to know that probably nobody has ever prayed over you in faith. But I said, I'm going to pray over you in faith. You notice what Bill said a while ago when he got through his sermon? He said, and I
guarantee it.
Wow. I guarantee it. So when he guaranteed it, we guaranteed it, and he got healed. And so, isn't that amazing? So I prayed for Sharon after 27 years of not doing things God's way, after we prayed and thanked the Lord, Sharon was instantly totally healed.
Amen.
And that's been 12, 15, 20 years ago, and she's still totally completely healed.
Sure. Yeah.
Now then, I want us, in the making of this tape, for somebody to listen to, I want to let y'all help me on this. If you've been paying attention, you've already learned a whole bunch of answers to the questions and the text that we're going to talk about. If somebody come to you and says, I see you go to a church, and have you ever seen God answer a prayer? And you said, oh, yes, lots of times. They said, wow, would you share some of those with me? And so they go down the list, and you tell them, and you talk to them. I know that Scott Smith, I never, Friday afternoon when I run into this guy, the first thing, Scott, before he even says, hi, Thurman, he said, let me tell you about my latest praise report. I mean, he's full of praise reports. I mean, I can think of just a few years ago when he didn't have a single praise report. Ain't that right, Scott?
Yes.
But he always has them now. So whatever this man has done in the last year or two, you need to pay attention and you need to know what he's done. But this ministry, the question, we want to know what we're doing wrong. Why do you see so many praise reports? Why do so many answers to prayer? And the praise reports, not just healing. I mean, we see God do answers for prayer for everything. I mean, we pray for people to sell their house. I mean, we pray for people that their son or daughter will get saved or whatever. But when we pray, we must be doing something different, because if what we're doing in this church is bringing forth the results that you're seeing here, if you're seeing Kim get healed, Mike get healed, Bill Wagner get healed, I mean, Sharon get healed, Cheryl gets healed, I mean, we could just go down the list. There's not a row in here that somebody couldn't say, I got healed. I got this or I got this. Now then, I want you to stop and think, and I want you to tell me, how would you answer this man's request? This man that says, we never see an answer to prayer. We've never seen a healing. We've never, in other words, his request was, we never see an answer to prayer. Now, if you're a ministry, and the first, what is the problem?
Unbelief.
Okay, so that come up several times. So
yes, the sin of unbelief.
We want to know, when we pray, we have to believe. Is that what Scripture says?
Yes.
Okay, now wait a minute. If you have to believe, what would God do? And maybe you need a scripture for us to read. What would God do if you didn't believe? So where do you get that? How do you know that's true? I mean, because see, you're dealing with people that don't have an answer. They're going to want to know, well, why? You know, what am I doing wrong? There's got to be something wrong. They're wavering. Do we know a scripture that we can use? James 1?
5 and 6.
Can we put that on the board and look at it a minute? But what, James 1?
James 1, 6, 7, and 8.
6, okay, 6, 7. But, okay.
But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord.
Okay, now let's stop
and think about it. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways.
Okay. So now then, this is where it really puts you to the test. Somebody comes in, somebody calls on the phone, somebody writes you an email, or you meet somebody on the street, and you start talking to them about getting an answer to prayer. And let's just say that it's healing, because there's so many sick people out there. I mean, you can't hardly go nowhere without running into somebody that needs to be prayed for. But people don't pray for each other. Can you imagine? Just think. Let's take this young man right here with his young sons. How old are you boys? 10?
10 and 13.
10 and 13. Okay, just think. 10 and 13. These boys may or may not know that this fantastic power for healing and answers of prayer is living in them, because they both know Jesus, right? They both know Jesus. You're a 10 and a 13-year-old boy. As a 10 and a 13-year-old boy, you ought to be in the Word enough, knowing the Word enough, so that when you run into one of your little buddies in school, if one of them's having some kind of problem, first thing you do is say, let me pray for you. Let me pray for you. And somebody says, oh, you crazy, stupid. Who do you think this is? You know, you can't pray for people. He says, why? I can. I can pray for you. Oh, no, you can't pray for people. Well, let me just show you what happens when I pray. And so then you take I think about down at the DFW airport one day when a woman's screaming and I go running down there to see what's wrong. This woman fell into an oven, got her whole arm all burned up. I mean, she got big old blisters all over, and she's screaming at the top of her lungs. I run over and lay hands on her and quote the Word of God three places, and then I quote Mark 11:23 and said, you're going to be healed in Jesus' name. I guarantee it.
Amen.
And I turned and walk off, and the pain immediately stops. This woman's arms, blisters, burned. Next morning when she comes back to work, she went home that night. Her husband saw it. He wanted to take her to the doctor, and he wouldn't go. She wouldn't go. So the next morning, she said, if it still bothered me in the morning, I'll go to the doctor in the morning. She wakes up the next morning, overnight, and all these blisters and burns is totally gone from her arm. Her arm's completely healed because of my prayer. Because I stepped out in faith saying, I guarantee my God will heal your arm. It was a Spanish lady named Edelina. Isn't it amazing how God doesn't make any of what color, creed, nationality? He loves all of us exactly the same. You know, and when you realize who you are and what you can do, and the thing about the devil, if there's anything the devil has convinced us of, we are not worth nothing. You know, don't you dare pray for some little boy in school. You might get in trouble. That's what the devil will do to you, because he don't want you to see a miracle like that. Can you imagine what would happen when you pray for somebody like that, and the next day when they come to work, they're totally, completely healed? I've seen that. I've seen it. Boy, whenever you learn that and you learn to pray like that, don't other kids say, you see those two boys right there? Don't get too close to them. Them boys, they believe in Jesus. And we saw them pray for a boy that had a burned arm, and the next morning the arm was healed. And the people say, no, I don't believe that. And they go over and get that boy and say, did you pray? Oh, yeah, I just prayed. How'd you pray? Oh, I just prayed, Father, in Jesus' name. I mean, Jesus, he's the healer. I mean, he does things. And boy, when you start seeing this, they say, be careful being around these two boys. I mean, they might touch you or something. There's some supernatural power with these two boys. And there is, isn't there?
Yes.
And it's in there.
Yes.
And when I was their age, I had that supernatural power in me and didn't know it.
Wow.
So I didn't know how to pray. I didn't go to a church that told me that power is in me, that I can pray in faith, and God will answer my prayer. He don't care if I'm 13 years old or 10 years old. He's looking for somebody to do something in faith.
Amen.
That's what he's looking for. And when one of his babies, his little babies, a 13 and a 10, of course, that's what God sees these two young boys as, his young babies.
Yes.
And he's ready to do something great for these boys.
Amen.
And I mean, there's no telling what you can see God do when you start believing. Because he didn't put an age limit on what you can do.
Amen.
I mean, you can be, wow. It's just like my own grandson over here one day. He come in and needed something, and Cheryl ordered it, and he said, Grandma, I need it tomorrow. And she said, okay. So he said, let's pray. So they prayed. Whenever it started to leave, I said, well, is it going to come tomorrow? He said, yeah, Granddaddy's coming tomorrow. I said, how do you know? He said, because me and Grandma prayed. It's just like one day he was out there, him and Caitlin, they were out front riding their bikes. I was sitting there in my office. All of a sudden the Lord spoke to me and said, son, go out front. When God speaks to you and tells you to do something, what do?
Do it.
It don't matter whether it makes sense or not make sense, just do what he says. So I thought, okay, God. So I get up out of my chair and I walk to the front and I go, and just as I open the door, there goes Preston across there, and he's pushing his bicycle and he's crying. Uh-oh. So I go running after him and I said, Preston, I said, son, what's wrong? He said, oh, Granddad, he's being a boy, wheeling this wheel around on his bicycle, and it slid out from under him, and the handlebar hit him right in the chest. Well, it hurt because he's crying. And so anyway, I walked over there and put my hands on him, and I said, now I know why the Lord wants me to come out here. Because he didn't want you to be in pain. You're one of his little sons. So I just reached over and laid my hands on him and I said, pain be gone in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
I said, now then, what's it feel like? He said, Granddaddy, the pain just left.
Amen.
They're just that him and Caitlin had that power in them, but they don't know it either.
Amen.
Isn't that something? You've got that power in you, don't you? But you know it now.
Amen.
You know what you can do. That's the most powerful thing in the universe when a daddy lays hands on his wife and his children, and the children see the results every time daddy prays. And that's the way it should be.
Amen.
Let me tell you what. If you've got a praying daddy that's living and walking with God, now that's a secret. People today don't walk with God. They're ashamed of God. Well, let me tell you, you ain't going to get much from him if you're ashamed of him. But if you'll walk with God and you'll do what he says, when you pray, he will answer your prayer if you're walking with him. Now, that's the secret. If you're walking with God, then when you do things at your home for your children, I mean, I think about Dave's kids here. I mean, they can just get a little scrape or anything. And they run over and tell Daddy, pray. Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
Well, when you take children like that have in a home where the daddy's led by the Spirit of God, and he prays over those children, and things happen. Let me tell you, when those kids go off to school, they won't be one of the ones that's lost in the midst of that craziness. When they say, you know, there is no God, that son will stand up and look right, that professor right in the eye and say, sir, I'm sorry, but I had a praying daddy, and I've seen him pray over me many a time, and this is the results. Don't you dare try to tell me that there's not a God, because I know who he is. You won't lose them. But they've got to know, and they got to see. They got to see what happens at home with God and with Daddy. If Daddy ain't there, you're in trouble. And that's what's wrong with so much of the world today, isn't it? The daddies are not there. The daddies need to be there. Daddy is the head kingpin in that home. And you need to see those children. They need to see Daddy pray. And they need to be able to see God answer prayer. And they need to see what's going on. So that when if you're a ministry and you're not seeing any answer to prayer, we've just come up with one thing. The first question was asked, why? And the first answer that came back was unbelief. Was that what we said?
Yeah.
Because this little group of people that go with this church, we know the promises of God. Amen. We know they're all yes and amen. There's so many things that you have to know, but we know those here. That's why when Scott and Kim first started coming here, I mean, she was afraid she'd get knocked down, so she wouldn't even sit in the front. She sat in the back by the door, so if something crazy goes wrong, she could run out. Because she'd never seen anything like this. He'd never seen anything like this. But after they sat there and listened, I never forget Kim the day that she told me. She said, you know, we read the Bible after we got saved, and we run up on the scripture, Matthew 18:19, where it says, if two of us on earth agree about anything, it'll happen. She said, I read that and thought, boy, wouldn't that be nice if that really worked. So you didn't believe it worked.
No, I did not.
But after you got hit with your back that time, you believed it then.
Absolutely, I believe it today.
And you still believe it today, don't you?
My favorite scripture day.
Now your favorite scripture. So, okay, so we've come up with one thing here, unbelief. And we read that place there where Cheryl read that one more time. Honey, read that scripture. That's a powerful scripture. Here's what happens, and here's what you're going to get if you don't believe the promises of God. Now listen to this scripture. James 1:6-7.
But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways.
So, if somebody comes in and asks you to pray for them, just like Miss Jackie, that was amazing. That's why I told Cheryl, I want you to read that praise report with her here before the church. Because she's not really had the confidence to pray for people believing. But she's been listening and hearing this kind of crazy stuff now for a long time. So all of a sudden from hearing the word, she steps out in faith. And you prayed for a woman with diabetes.
And arthritis.
Arthritis. And she was healed. Now see there? Yeah, do what, Jackie?
The Lord gets the glory.
Well, we know that.
But I'm saying the glory.
But he has to work on us to get us up there so we get in there and let him use us.
Yeah.
If we don't open our mouths and do something for Jesus and say, now I guarantee his word, it don't work, does it? But just think, because you had the faith to step out. And you notice the thing she told that lady to do? You know, you quit taking your medicine.
Don't go to the doctor.
Trust Jesus.
Amen.
Do you know that's when the world will, if you're not careful, you tell some pastors that.
Yeah.
And they'll tell you you're crazy, Charlie.
Been there, done that.
You've been there, done that too. Why is that? Why is it that pastors won't believe his word? I mean, we can't really point our fingers at them because we know we were in the same boat once, right? Ourselves? Yeah, I was in a church for years and years and years and never dreamed of praying for anybody. Oh, I'd go to a Wednesday night prayer meeting and we'd pray, but when I left there, if somebody asked me, do you believe any of your prayers going to be answered? I thought, well, maybe if it's God's will. Is that kind of the way we do things?
That's right.
That's the way I did it. And did I see any answer to prayer?
No.
Didn't see nothing. It didn't work. It's just like Barron said the other day, he had to get somebody to confess something. And he told me, Pastor, when I finally got that person to confess that sin, I can now pray the prayer of faith. Well, see, he's learned that God will not hear the prayer of a sinner. If you're living in unforgiveness and bitterness, it don't do no good to pray for them, does it, Barron? Because God ain't going to answer that prayer. That's another one of the reasons why we don't see God answer prayer. Is because we have, I want you to tell me another reason why that these people are probably not, they're not getting any answers to prayer in the ministry.
It was right before this one here, it's James 1:5. If you need wisdom, ask your generous God and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking.
Just think, I can remember that scripture she just read there about if you any man need faith, need wisdom, let him ask God. So why do we as children of God, why do we go through our life needing all this information and never ask God? Well, I'll tell you why. Or maybe you need to tell me why. Why do you think that is? Why do you not see these answers? And if you need wisdom, why do we not ask?
They don't have the faith.
Why is that?
They don't have the faith.
They have no faith.
They have no faith.
Why is it that the church has so little faith? What is it that we're doing or not doing that's creating a problem in the church that we have no faith? I mean, once in a while you'll find a church that's on fire.
They're not hearing the word of God enough. That's right.
Yeah. John 15:7.
Just think. If I were to take a that scripture. What scripture do you say? James what?
John 15:7.
Okay, John 15:7. Okay. Okay, let's just say for instance, let's say that I'm new in a church and I come to a church and I just get saved and I come in and I ask Jesus to come into my heart and I believe it and I get saved. And then the pastor tells me, we have some promises that God will answer prayer. And one of those scriptures is John 15:7, that Miss Jackie just said. So Cheryl, honey, read John 15:7. And let's see. Now, if you're a brand new Christian and this book is supposed to be the Word of God, it's going to work. It's going to do what it says it'll do. And you're going to read John 15:7.
Yes.
And see, this is one of the promises of God.
If you abide in me, which means to remain or live in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you.
Okay. I keep using Char's sons here as an example. These two young boys. They get saved and they don't know nothing. Would they ever pray for anybody at work or school? No. If they never see you pray for nobody, never see Dad get the Bible down and read it, it must not be important. But if they see you reading it a lot, they see you praying over them, and every time something's an issue with anybody or anything, first thing you do is call your family together and you pray. When they see that happening, then you say, well, Dad, how do you do that? I say, well, son, here in John 15:7, it says, first word, if. If what? If I abide in him and his word abide in me, we can ask for anything. They say, Daddy, it couldn't be real. I say, yes, son, it is real. God means what he says, and he's bigger than we are, and he can do exceedingly abundantly above anything we can even think or imagine. And so the boys see Dad pray. They see answers to prayer. And whenever they start praying now, every once in a while, after they see Daddy pray, and nearly every time Daddy prays, pretty quick they see an answer. So they think, we prayed, Dad, and it didn't work. What happened? Okay, well, Dad goes back to that word, and that word says, if what? If my words, how are you going to get the word of God in you, son? Reading it and studying it, right? That's the way to do it. So if you read and study the word of God, and you get that power in your heart, and you read that, let's say if you read that scripture. Sure, honey, read that scripture one more time, John 15:7.
If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you.
Now, if I'm God, and I tell you, boys, y'all are my sons, now then, if y'all will read my word and study my word, you can come and ask me for anything, and I'll do it for you. If your daddy made you a promise like that, you're 13, you're only 3 years from driving, right? Yeah, you know that, don't you? So if Dad says, son, if you'll be a really good boy and do what I say and make good grades in school, when you get to be 16, I'll buy you a car or a truck or a pickup or whatever you want. Would that have a tendency to cause you to do a little more work? Well, I mean, but this is what God has done for us. If he just give us something and we didn't have to work for it, we'd make a fool out of ourselves. You know, so we need to be able to work for something. So when you work for something, you start studying that word. And if you realize, if you read that word enough, and Dad said, we're using him as God, when you get to be 16, if you keep a good record and you do good work, when you get to be 16, I'll buy you a vehicle, something that you'll really like. Isn't that amazing? But if you read that lesson every day, go back and read that every day, if my words. So in fact, that's just like Dave's son, the book of Proverbs. Dave's son is memorizing the book of Proverbs. I don't know how many chapters he has memorized, but the other day when I was talking to him, he had 21 chapters of the book of Proverbs memorized. What do you think that boy is going to be when he grows up? Do you think he might be powerful?
Yeah.
The scripture that's in Proverbs will give him such wisdom that he'll be able to heal the sick. He'll be able to cleanse the lepers. He'll be able to raise the dead. He'll be able to keep himself clean and pure. You won't find him out running around with some whore.
Amen.
Because he knows that the one that goes down to the steps of the whore, their life shall end in hell forever.
Amen.
If he's got the book of Proverbs memorized, he'll know those things, and he'll know when that whore comes to him and tries to get him to go with him, she'll say, he said, let me tell you about Jesus.
Amen.
And he'll win her into the kingdom of God and change her life and get her saved and delivered. And that's where you'll come from. That's what you need to be doing. And let me tell you, if you'll walk with God, you'll do what he says. I think about a young man. My phone rang one day. Young man asked me if I was coming back down to Goldwood anytime soon. I told him I was. He said, well, when? And I told him when I was coming. He says, can I come to see you when you come down? I said, sure. I went to high school with him. So the next time I went down there, I called him. He came over to see me. Went to high school with him. He used to always run around, drink, got hooked on alcohol. He's a drunk. His life is being ruined. He said, Thurman, you were the only boy in our class that walks with God. So he said, I thought if there's anybody in the world that can help me, it will be you. When I found out what his problem was, I told him, I said, you just repent of your sin. I said, God has given us a way to get you delivered. I want Cheryl to read Joel 2:32. I want you to listen to what Joel 2:32 says. If a man has a problem with alcohol or anything, Joel 2:32, read that, honey.
And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered.
Isn't that an awesome promise?
Yes.
Because I had studied and went to school and studied God's Word. I knew those scriptures. And I knew how to tell him to call on the name of the Lord. And I told him, I said, you know, all you got to do is speak the word Jesus. I want to be delivered. I guarantee he will deliver you. That young man, which nobody could help, which was a drunk, an alcoholic, lost his whole family and everything else. I had him call on the name of Jesus. Then I kicked those spirits of hell out of that boy. And that boy was completely delivered and set free. And today he's no longer an alcoholic. Just think, if you learn these things when you're young, what can you do when you get old? You can help people. You can be a blessing to people. But read one more time. Read that, honey, one more time.
Joel 2:32, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered.
Isn't
it? Can I say something about it?
Yeah, sure.
Christy and I were shopping at Walmart several Christmases ago, probably about five or six Christmases ago. Well, longer than that. She had the Little Pete's restaurant. And I was in the toy section, and she was up toward the front. She came and got me. She said, this woman over here, the cashier, has got a son that's hooked on heroin, and he's an atheist. She said, can you come pray? I said, sure, I'll come pray. So we stood right there, the three of us holding hand in the checkout lane of the Walmarts, and I called on Joel 232. Her son's name was Eric, and claimed that Eric, I was calling for him. I was standing in the gap for him, calling for him. We agreed on Matthew 18:19. It was done. I also told the Holy Spirit to convict him of sin and send the proper laborer from the harvest to draw him out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light and gloriously save him. And we thanked the Lord for doing it. And we all agreed, Matthew 18:19. And then we left. And we said, you know, I told her that a mother's prayer, God hears a mother's prayer, and that he was going to hear it, and Eric was going to get delivered. So we left. A couple of months later, Christy says, oh, Mom, I had a divine appointment today. She said, I was the restaurant, we needed taco shells. And she said, I went to Costco. They didn't have any. I went to Sam's Club. They didn't have any. She said, I go to Walmart. And she said, guess who I'm in the checkout line with? I said, I don't know. She said, the lady we prayed for, I think her name was Lindsay, and she said, the lady we prayed for, she said, oh, tell your mother. She said, just a short time thereafter, she said, my son got delivered from heroin. He became a Christian, and he's playing drums in a Christian cowboy church. Praise God, and he wasn't even there.
Was there. Hallelujah.
Just think. We are just started in the process of why people don't get their prayers answered. You in this church, you have the answers. How many of you think that everybody needs to know what we're trying to teach?
Amen.
Does everybody need to know this?
Yes.
Next week we're going to press on. We're going to continue to learn how to answer these people's prayer so that they will be able to see what they're doing wrong. Because if we're seeing the results we're seeing, and we're seeing tremendous results, if we're getting this many people saved, healed, and delivered out of this little group, if all of you had all those answers and you could share it with others, would it work for somebody else?
Yeah,
yes, it will. Okay, we're going to take communion. Yeah, next Saturday is the healing school. We're going to teach people how to get healed and delivered.
At 1 o'clock.
At 1 o'clock. Well, they're passing that out. I think about what my sister told me. As God began to reveal this power that's in us to me, I began to read the scripture because I thought it was too good to be true. As I read the scripture, I found out the scripture was very true, that it said what it said and it meant what it said. I'm learning, and of course, when I go home, I'll share with my sister these wonderful things that I'm learning. Well, my sister had a daughter, and in fact, we just visited with him just a few weeks ago. As we talked about my niece, my sister's daughter. They were together one day, and she'd been to the doctor, had a lump in her breast, and she got a bad report, just like Bill did, got a bad report. So they called me. She said, Uncle Thurman, I've got a knot in my breast, and they say I have breast cancer. She said, my mother tells me that you learned something about healing. I said, yes, Vicki, I've learned a lot. So I said, we're going to break this curse. We're going to kick out these spirits, and we're going to pray. I said, I want you to put your hand. Now, she's 150 miles from here on a telephone. I said, I want you to put your hand on your breast where that knot is. I'm going to take authority over that spirit. I'm going to remit your sins. I'm going to kick out this devil, and then I'm going to pray for healing of your body in Jesus' name. I did, and that little girl screamed, and that lump went completely away, and that's been probably 30 or 40 years ago, and that lump has never come back. We just sat in the house with them the other day, now then, and talked about these things. If you were to get with my sister and her daughter and say, you know, God is not real, you think you could convince my sister and her daughter that God's not real? Oh, it's just a coincidence that I have the power to lay hands on someone and they get healed. But it happened right here in this church, didn't it? Last week it happened. Bill Wagner got healed. And of course, we got to listen to all these other testimonies, but we got to listen to Bill firsthand. I love it when we get to hear firsthand testimonies. And I love it when we get to hear Miss Jackie's testimony. And Cheryl read here, because it's amazing. Yeah, I had a diabetic sore on her foot.
And had arthritis since 2011 and was healed of both.
Wow, and it was healed of all that.
Yes.
Miss Jackie? Hold your hands out. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I want you to anoint this girl with power. You said we could lay hands on people and impart special healing power. So I want you to increase her healing power so everybody she touches in the name of Jesus will get healed in Jesus' name. I know when the Lord moves on my heart to do something like that, I had a man call me week before last. Cheryl and I, it was one of the first meetings we went to in a camp in New York somewhere. And I had just stand up to preach, and I'd been teaching probably for 15 minutes. And there's a man and his wife and daughters and his mother-in-law come in and sit down. And she was using a cane, struggling along to get along. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, son, go over and lay hands on that woman. I want to heal her. So I hadn't seen this happen very many times at this time. I'm pretty new. So I walked up a couple of steps and I said, folks, I've never had this happen, I don't think, but maybe once or twice. But I said, the Lord just spoke to me. And that lady that just came in with a cane and the walker, the Lord told me he wants to heal her. So I said, if y'all will bear with me, I'm going to lay hands on this woman. So we went over and I said, be healed in Jesus' name. That's all I said. So I backed up and I said, okay, now we'll go ahead with the teaching. That man, week before last, called me. That's been at least 15 years ago, hasn't it? He said, Thurman, I want to tell you that my mother-in-law is still completely, totally healed. Said she's 90, I think she was 94 or something now. But she's still completely healed. And 15 years ago, she had to get along with a walker. The power that God puts in us and He uses us for His glory. But I'm going to tell you, He does this to men that walk with God. Is that right, Baron? You can't be a hoodlum and get God to do those kind of things for you, can you? No. You can't be a hoodlum. God says, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. He loves for his children to be holy. Holy. And if you'll be holy and do what he tells you, you will see awesome miracles. I mean, if you believe, if you don't believe that God does miracles, you just need to go get a few of these people that we've had the privilege to pray over. And just like Bill, it'd be hard to tell people that, it'd be hard to convince Bill that God don't heal. You know that?
Amen.
Because he had cancer, now he don't have cancer. Oh, yeah, yeah.
It was in pain for 20 years.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing? Paula, as Mike and Gracie prayed for you after about 3 weeks or 4 weeks or whatever it was, you finally got through, and after being sick and painful for 20 years was completely, totally healed. Wow. Wow. Don't you love serving a God that answers prayer? Okay. Yes, sir?
One of our members needs prayer. Columba's going, she's having a custody battle with her ex-husband. And she is a godly woman that wants her daughter. Her husband is making claims about her, and Lala, I know you're going to be mad at me, but that's okay, baby, because this is about God and you having God in your life. You need Jesus in your life. Your mother is the only one bringing Jesus to you. You need her in your life. So her custody battle ends tomorrow. She need prayer, Pastor, and we need for her daughter to see Jesus show up for her.
Yes.
She need that.
Amen.
Without a shadow of a doubt. So let's pray for Columba, Father. Pastor, so she can see the Father show up, and she, her daughter, can see who Jesus really is.
Yes. Father, as we pray and stand in here, we thank you for this young lady and her mother and her father. And Lord, I know that people don't realize the power that's been given to us. But Lord, the way it was in the beginning, it's supposed to be this young lady with her mother and her father as a team. There's supposed to be a team together. And Lord, that would be my prayer, that you put them back together as a team. Ain't nothing hard for you. You can move on anybody's heart. You can make that heart flow the way you want to. You can make that man and that woman and that daughter, you can make them such a loving team that they'll never know that these bad things have happened in the past. We realize this is the enemy, and that we have been given all power and all authority over the enemy. And we demand and command the enemy to leave this family and stay away from them in Jesus' name. Now, Lord, thank you for healing. Thank you for delivering. And thank you for putting this family back together. Make them a family of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Now then, how many of you believe he's big enough to do it? Amen. He can do it, and he will do it. And we looked at the bread, and we ate the bread. It's the body of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. And the blood cleanses people from the blood. From sin, in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Does God answer prayer?
Yes.
And we need to come up with answers to people. It's just like one day I had since Fred's here, a missionary to, what country did you go to, Fred?
Indonesia.
One day when I was up here to Baptist church, we had a missionary that come from Japan. He had been in Japan 30 years, had seen one convert in 30 years. I told him, I said, the reason you don't see anybody going over to Jesus, you're not using a demonstration of the Spirit's power. You know that that's just like a friend of mine who went to Mexico with a couple of them, Baptist group. And this one kid had been raised in a Pentecostal church, and he'd seen God heal. So they went to these houses, and they went and knocked on the door and invited people to the ministry that's going to take place tonight starting at 7 o'clock. Would you be interested in coming to the meeting? No. We said we went down that street, two or three streets. Not one single person was interested. So he said, I told the young boy, I said, we're doing something that ain't working. Well, if it ain't working, let's change. He said, what do you say? He said, let me talk to the next one. So he opened the door. He says, we're missionaries. We come in the name of Jesus. Anybody in the house sick or need a healing from God? That one kid backed up and he said, wow, where did that come from? He said, you want to be healed? He said, you got anybody that needs to be healed? He said, yes, my wife has diabetes. I need her healed. So he said, we went in there and said, her leg is killing her. The pain is terrible. So he said, we went in and I didn't realize they'd cut her leg off right below her knee. I thought, oh my God, I got myself in for trouble. So he said, you're in great pain? She said, yes, I'm in great pain, great pain. He said, well, let me touch you in the name of Jesus. He reached over and touched her and said, be healed in Jesus' name. And the woman said, wow, the pain just went away. I have no pain. He said, thank God she didn't have enough faith to ask for a new leg. Because he knew he didn't have enough faith for a new leg either. But if he had been reading that verse we just read there, John 15:7, if he had read that every day 10 times a day, he'd had that faith, wouldn't he? He'd have that kind of faith. But anyway, he said, wow, he said, that guy's, the guy, when he saw his wife get the knee healed, the pain went away and everything, he said, this guy's out running, knocking on every door of every neighbor, saying, hey, these guys are going to have a meeting downtown. They're going to have a healing meeting. Jesus is going to show up. He already healed my wife. He said, they filled the place up that night. When Jesus shows up, with what I've seen God do in my lifetime, do you think it would be possible for you to try to tell me that God don't heal? Isn't that something? We need to believe. Is that what's wrong with us? But if that's just like when, one last little story. I went to Kansas City one day. It was right after the, I forget what they call it now, that football team that plays the Super Bowl. And Staubach was the quarterback. I walked up on the dock in Kansas City, and a boy said, hey, Scribner, what do you think about your boy Staubach? I said, Staubach? I said, I don't believe I know anybody by the name of Staubach. He said, you are from Dallas, aren't you? I said, yes. You don't know Roger Staubach? I said, no, sir. I don't believe I do. Who is he? He said, he's a quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys. They just won the Super Bowl yesterday. I said, now, I have heard of the Super Bowl, but I don't know any of the team members, not even Roger Staubach. He said, I can't believe you don't even know one of those. I said, let me ask you a question, sir. Can you name the 12 apostles? He says, who? I said, oh. I said, I'd much rather know the 12 apostles than Roger Staubach. I said, how about Jesus Christ? Do you know who he is? He said, well, I go to church a little. I know a little bit about him. I said, you ever seen Jesus answer a prayer for you? You ever seen him heal anybody? Ever seen him do anything powerful? He says, he don't do those things anymore. Does he do those kind of things? Boy, does he ever do those kind of things. The reason we don't see him do nothing is because we don't believe. That was the very first answer is lack of belief. We do not believe. Is that right?
Amen.
So maybe we need to read the word a little. Maybe this week we need to sit there and soak in the word a little. Let the word of God just run over in our heart.
Amen.
And if this word becomes a revelation to you, you can do it. Jesus said himself, if you believe with no doubt in your heart, you can even speak to a mountain. And if you don't doubt in your heart, that mountain will obey you. You can move a mountain. Do you believe you can move a mountain?
Yes.
Okay, if you don't, spend some more time with God in the Word. Keep reading those promises, and I guarantee the day will come when you do believe you can move a mountain, and you will be able to move it.
Amen.
Okay?
Yes.
Okay. Next Sunday, church again.
Saturday.
Next Saturday, healing school.
1 o'clock.
Yeah, and we're going to see God do some awesome things. And Lord, we're going to thank you one more time for healing Bill's back.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for all the things you do. Well, Lord, we thank you for all the things you do for all the people. And we ask you to use us mightily for your kingdom. And we just give you all the praise and the glory and the honor. In Jesus' name, amen.